The sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verse 17 and verses 20 to 26. Jesus came down with the 12 and stopped at a piece of level ground where there was a large gathering of his disciples with a great crowd of people from all parts of Judea and from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Then fixing his eyes on his disciples, he said, "How happy are you who are poor? Yours is the kingdom of God. Happy you who are hungry now. You shall be satisfied. Happy you who weep now. You shall laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, drive you out, abuse you, denounce your name as criminal on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice when that day comes and dance for joy, for then your reward will be great in heaven." This was the way their ancestors treated the prophets. But alas for you who are rich, you are having your consolation now. Alas for you who have your fill now, you shall go hungry. Alas for you who laugh now, you shall mourn and weep. Alas for you when the world speaks well of you. This was the way their ancestors treated the false prophets.
The scene is near a mountaintop close to the Lake of Gennesaret. It is morning and a multitude of people have come to this place to hear Jesus talk. Jesus speaks to the apostles, who are allotting a place to each one so that they may direct and watch over the crowd who have been climbing up the mountain since the early hours of the morning with sick people whom they carry in their arms or in stretchers, or who have dragged themselves along on crutches. There is a huge crowd from all the districts in Palestine, and the people are of all conditions. Jesus climbs a little higher above the meadow, which is at the bottom of a little valley. He leans against the rock and begins speaking. He talks to them about the kingdom of God and how sanctifying grace can become the life of their souls now that he, the Redeemer, has arrived. Grace will come back to you, lively and powerful, and you will be triumphant if you so wish. God does no violence to your thoughts or your sanctification. You are free. But he gives you back your strength. He gives you back your freedom from Satan's empire. It is up to you to take upon yourselves the infernal yoke or to put angelical wings on your souls. It depends on you, with me as your brother, to guide you and nourish you with an immortal food. You may ask, how can one conquer God and his kingdom through a milder road than the harsh road of Mount Sinai? There is no other road but that one. But let us look at it not from a point of view of a threat, but from the point of view of love. Let us not say, "Woe to me if I do not do that," trembling with fear of sinning, of not being able not to sin. But let us say, "How glad I will be if I do that." And with the impulse of a supernatural joy, full of happiness, let us rush towards these beatitudes brought about by compliance with the law, as roses sprout from a thorny bush. Let us look, in this way, at the way of salvation through the joy of the saints. And one by one, Jesus explains each of the 9 beatitudes. How happy I will be if I am poor in spirit. Oh, satanic thirst for wealth, to what frenzy you lead both the rich and the poor. the rich who live for their gold, the ill-famed idol of their ruined spirits, the poor who live hating the rich because of their gold, and even if they do not murder them physically, they curse them, wishing them all sorts of evil. It is not enough not to do evil, one must not even wish to do it. He who curses, wishing calamities and death, is very like him who kills physically, because he wishes the death of the person he hates. I solemnly tell you that such a wish is like an action held back, like a fetus conceived in a womb and formed, but not yet ejected. A wicked desire corrupts and ruins man, because it lasts longer than a violent action and is deeper than the action itself. If a rich man is poor in spirit, he does not sin for the sake of his gold, but he turns his gold into sanctification, because he turns it into love. Loved and blessed, he is like spring water that saves travellers in a desert, as he gives generously, without avarice, happy to be able to relieve desperate situations. If he is poor, he is happy in his poverty, and eats his bread, which is sweetened by the joy of being free from the thirst of gold. He sleeps free from nightmares and gets up well rested for his tranquil work, which is always light when done without greed or envy. What makes man materially rich is gold. What makes him morally rich are his affections. Gold comprises not only money, but also houses, fields, jewels, furniture, herds, everything. In other words, that which makes life wealthy materially. Affections include blood or marriage ties, friendship, intellectual soundness, public office. As you can see, for the first group, the materially rich, a poor man can say, "Oh, as far as I'm concerned, providing I do not envy those who are rich, I am all right because I am poor, and thus I am settled by force of circumstances." With regard to the second group, the morally rich, a poor man must also be careful, because the poorest man can also become sinfully rich in spirit. Whoever is immoderately attached to anything commits a sin. You may ask, are we then to hate the wealth that God granted us? Why then does he command us to love our fathers, mothers, wives and children, and say, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself"? Well, I reply, you must distinguish. We must love our fathers, mothers, wives and our neighbour, but in the degree indicated by God, as ourselves. Whereas God is to be loved above everything and with our whole selves. We must not love God only as we love the dearest people among our neighbours, because a woman suckled us, or because she sleeps on our chest and procreates children for us. We must love him with our whole selves, that is, with all the ability to love that is in man, the love of a son, of a husband, of a friend. And, do not be scandalized, the love of a father. Yes, we must have, for the interests of God, the same care that a father has for his children, for whom he lovingly protects and increases his wealth, taking care of and being anxious for their physical growth and intellectual education, and for their success in the world. Love is not an evil and must not become an evil. The graces which God grants us are not evil and must not become so. They are love, granted out of love. We must make a loving use of such wealth granted to us by God, in personal affections and in worldly goods And only he who does not make an idol of such wealth, but uses it to serve God in holiness, shows that he has no sinful attachment to it. One then practices that holy poverty in spirit that deprives itself of everything in order to be more free to conquer God, the holy supreme wealth. To conquer God is to have the kingdom of heaven. How happy I will be if I am gentle. This may seem to be in contrast with the facts of daily life. Those who are not lowly seem to be prominent and successful in their families, towns, and countries. But is theirs a real triumph? No, it is not. Fear apparently subdues those who are overwhelmed by the despot, but in actual fact, it is nothing but a veil drawn over the rebellion seething against the tyrant. Hot-tempered and overbearing people do not win the love of their relatives, of their own citizens, or of their subjects. Neither are intellects or souls convinced to follow the doctrines of masters who impose themselves by stating, "I said thus, thus it is." Such masters only create self-taught men who seek the key that can open the closed doors of a wisdom or of a science which they search for and which is actually the opposite of what is imposed on them. Those priests who do not try to conquer souls with patient, humble, and loving kindness do not win any souls to God. On the contrary, they look like armed warriors who start a fierce attack. Such is their intolerant rashness in dealing with souls. Oh, poor souls! If they were holy, they would not need you, O priests, to reach the light. They would already have it within themselves. If they were just, they would not need you, O judges, to be put under the restraint of justice, as they would already have justice within themselves. If they were healthy, they would not need a doctor. Be gentle, therefore. Do not put souls to flight. Attract them through love. Because lowliness is love, as poverty in spirit is love. If you are such, you will have the earth for your heritage, and you will take this place to God, whereas previously it belonged to Satan. Because your lowliness, which, besides love, is also humility, will have overcome hatred and pride, expelling from souls the vile king of hatred and pride. And the world will belong to you, that is, to God, because you will be the just souls that will acknowledge God as the absolute master of creation, to whom praise and blessing and everything else which belongs to him are due. How happy I will be if I mourn without rebelling. Sorrow is on the earth, and sorrow wrings tears from men. Sorrow did not exist, but man brought it on to the earth, and because of his corrupt intellect, he continuously strives to increase it in every possible way. Diseases and calamities ensue from thunderbolts, storms, avalanches, and earthquakes. Besides these, man invents deadly weapons which are more and more dreadful, and moral hardships which are more and more cunning. How many tears man wrings from his fellow man through the instigation of his secret king, Satan. And I solemnly tell you that those tears are not an impairment, but a perfection of man. Man is an absent-minded child, a thoughtless, superficial child, a backward-born child, until tears make him an adult, thoughtful, intelligent person. Only those who weep, or who have wept, know how to love. and can understand. They know how to love their weeping brothers, how to understand them in their grief, and how to help them with their goodness, which is fully aware of how bitter it is to weep alone. And they know how to love God, because they have realized that everything is grief except God, and because they have understood that sorrow can be soothed if tears are shed on God's heart. They have also realized that tears do not cause faith to be lost, prayer to become barren, and rebellion to be loathed. Resignation to such tears changes nature, and instead of sorrow, these tears become comfort. Yes, those who weep, loving the Lord, will be comforted. How happy I will be if I hunger and thirst for justice. From the moment he is born to the moment he dies, man craves eagerly for food. He opens his mouth at his birth to get hold of his mother's nipple. He opens his lips to swallow some refreshment in the throes of death. He works to feed himself. He makes a huge nipple of the world from which he sucks insatiably that which is perishable. And man's soul is to be nourished to take it to immortality, to which the soul, out of love, will take the body in the blessed resurrection. Wisdom and justice are the nourishment of the soul. They are taken as food and as drink. They strengthen, and the more one takes of them, the more grows the holy eagerness to possess wisdom and know justice. The day will come when the holy, insatiable hunger of the soul will be satisfied. It will come. God will give himself to his child, will suckle him, and the child destined for paradise will be satisfied with the admirable mother who is God himself. And man will never be hungry again, but will rest happily on God's divine bosom. No human science is equal to this divine science. The curiosity of the mind can be gratified, but the necessities of the spirit cannot. Nay, the spirit is disgusted by the difference in taste, and contorts its mouth at the bitter nipple, preferring to suffer the pangs of hunger rather than be filled with a food that does not come from God. Be not afraid, O men thirsting or starving for God. Be faithful, and you will be satisfied by him who loves you. How happy I will be if I am merciful. Who amongst men can say, I do not need mercy? No one. Now, if in the old law it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, why should we not say in the new law, who has been merciful shall find mercy? Everybody needs forgiveness. Well then, forgiveness is not achieved by formulae or by the form of a rite, which are external symbols granted to man's dull mentality. It is instead obtained through the internal rite of love, which is still mercy. Blessed, therefore, are those who are merciful to those who are hungry, naked, homeless, and to those who suffer from the greatest misery, which is to have a bad disposition, as it causes grief both to those who have it and to those who live with them. Be merciful, forgive, bear with people, help them, teach them, support them. Do not conceal yourselves in a crystal tower, saying, I am pure and I will not descend among sinners. Do not say, I am rich and happy and I will not hear of other people's miseries. Remember that your richness, your health, your family wealth may vanish quicker than smoke blown away by a strong wind. Mercy is necessary to offer a continuous, secret, holy sacrifice of expiation and to obtain mercy. How happy I will be if I am pure in heart. God is purity. Paradise is the kingdom of purity. Nothing impure can enter paradise where God is. Therefore, if you are impure, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, but what a joy the Father grants to his children in advance. Whoever is pure has, in this world, an advance of heaven, because God bends over a pure soul, and man from the earth can see his God. God is not familiar with the taste of human love, but man relishes the flavour of divine love to the point of being enraptured. And man can say, I am with you and you are in me. I therefore possess you and I recognise you as the most loving spouse of my soul. And believe me, whoever has God enjoys substantial changes of which he himself is unaware, and he therefore becomes holy, wise and strong. Words embellish his lips, and his actions acquire a strength that is not of the creature, but comes from God, who lives in it. What is the life of those who see God? A beatitude. And do you wish to deprive yourselves of such a gift for the sake of stinking impurities? How happy I will be if I am peaceful in spirit. Peace is one of God's characteristics. God is to be found only in peace, because peace is love, whereas war is hatred. Satan is hatred, God is peace. Whoever is peaceful also propagates peace without uttering any words. Master of himself, and I dare say master of God, he divulges God, as a lamp spreads its light, as a thurible of incense exhales its perfume, and as a wineskin holds wine. And this sweet oil, which is the spirit of peace issuing from the children of God, gives light in the foggy gloominess of ill feelings, purifies the air from the poisonous vapours of malice, and calms the raging waves of quarrels. Let God and men say that you have this peace. How happy I will be if I am persecuted in the cause of right. Man has become so devilish that he hates good wherever it is, and he hates whoever is good, as if whoever is good, even when silent, accuses and reproaches him. In fact, the goodness of one person makes the wickedness of a wicked person appear even more wicked. In fact, the faith of a true believer makes the hypocrisy of a false believer appear more clearly. In fact, he who by his way of living continuously bears witness to justice can only be hated by the unjust. And then the unjust are pitiless towards the lovers of justice. The same applies here, just as in war. Man makes more progress in the satanic art of persecution than in the holy art of love. However, he can persecute only something which has a short life. What is eternal in man eludes the snare. Nay, it achieves a more energetic vitality than persecution itself. Life escapes through the bleeding wounds or because of the hardships that consume those who are persecuted. But the blood creates the purple of a future king, and the hardships are the many steps to ascend the thrones that the Father has prepared for his martyrs for whom the royal seats in the kingdom of heaven are reserved. How happy I will be if I am accused and abused falsely. Strive to have your names written in the celestial books. In these books, names are not written according to human falsehood, which is accustomed to praise those who less deserve praise. Instead, the deeds of good people are written with justice and love, in order to give them the reward promised to the blessed ones by God. In the past, the prophets were slandered and abused, but when the gates of heaven are opened, they will enter the city of God like imposing kings, and the angels will bow, singing with joy. You too, who have been abused and accused falsely for being the children of God, will have a heavenly triumph. And when time comes to an end and paradise is full, then every tear will be dear to you, because through these tears you will have conquered the eternal glory which I promise you in the name of the Father. Go, I will speak to you again tomorrow. Only the sick people should remain, so that I may relieve them from their pains. Peace be with you, and may the meditation on salvation lead you through love on the road which ends in heaven.